Good morning.
Good morning.
As we said in the opening comments, this is probably one of the better scriptures we could receive as we head into Lent, because Lent is about dealing with choices, dealing with where we are and where we need to be and how we are to live that out in our love of Christ. We hear in the first reading this morning from Sirach this message of choosing things that are laid before you. In one place you could choose fire, in one place you could choose water. I'm always reminded when I read this scripture of the movie The Matrix. I'm not a big movie person, but there are a couple of movies that have just stuck in my head throughout my life. And I realized as I was thinking about this morning that some of you don't even know what movie I'm talking about. As we were sitting at home with Taylor last night, we started going through movies that we thought were great movies, and she hadn't seen any of them. And that we're not talking about old movies either. Right? These are recent movies, 25, 30 years ago, recent movies. These aren't old movies like, Gone with the Wind. These are recent movies. They were done in color. They're newer movies. But I think back to the scene from The Matrix. And you have the two main characters. I'm going to lead you in on the movie if you haven't seen it. It's okay. I'll take you with me. Just envision in your mind what I'm showing, okay? You have the two lead characters. You have Neo and Morpheus, and they go into this hotel room, and there's two Queen Anne chairs facing one another, and they sit down on the two Queen Anne chairs, and Neo has no idea why he's there. He's been drugged there, literally, against his will. And they sit there, and Morpheus says to him, "You have a choice to make." And he opens up his hands, and in one hand is a blue pill, and in one hand is a red pill. And he says, "You can choose the blue pill, and you can go back to sleep. And when you wake up, life will be what it's always been for you. Or you can choose the red pill, and you can enter the Matrix." Now, I'm not suggesting for a moment that The Matrix is a religious movie. But I like the imagery that movie uses, because that is literally what God lays before us in our life. He sits before us and he says, "You have options at hand. You have free will. I've given it to you as a gift. You have choices." We like choices, right? Those of you who feed the homeless with us, if you've done it for very long, you've heard people actually say this to us. One of the things they love about what we do and how we do it is that they get choices. So often they come through that line and they get fed and they are happy to be fed. But it's even better when you have choices. God gives us choices. God says to us, "You can choose to do right or you can choose to do wrong. It's your choice. If you choose to do right, I got a bunch of blessings that will come in right behind that. But it's your choice." We find that God gives us choice to the children of Israel in the Old Testament, and he continues to give this choice to you and I today. And it's not simply the choice of, do you want to go to heaven or do you want to go to hell? That one would be seemingly easy, right? But it's the choice of every day when we get up, doing the right things, doing the things that bring us closer to the Lord, or doing things that take us further away from him. So often, we seem to think that the choice is not to sin. That's an oversimplification of the choice. Again, if there's a big sign that says if you do this, it's a sin, we go, "Oh, I'm not going there." There's an easy answer to that test. The problem is the test gets a little different for us. I'm in a hurry, so I cut corners, or I do things I shouldn't do. I go down this path or that path. It seems to be that I just need a little wiggle room. Is all I really need. I don't really need choices. Just give me some wiggle room. Well, wiggle room gets us in trouble. And God says to us throughout our life, throughout our day, you have choices. Choose to follow me in all that you do, or choose to not follow me in all that you do. The choice is yours. But I have blessings that come with the choices that are made right. And we were talking about this morning in Sunday school, and I have grace to take care of those things when you make the wrong choices, if you'll just come back to me. Throughout Scripture, we hear this message about grace and forgiveness, and God calls out and uses the same words, Old Testament, New Testament, "If my people will only return to me, that I will be their God and they will be my people." Again, maybe seems a little oversimplified. God's call in our life day by day is for us to return to him. For us to come to him and say, "Lord, I messed up yet again. Not I had a big mess up or a little mess up. That's justification. Lord, I messed up again. I love you. I don't want to injure my relationship with you. Will you hold me back into your arms one more time? And the answer from God eternally is yes. Yes. I love you. I love you deeper than you can understand. I love you more than you can ever imagine. All I wanted was for you to say, can I come back home? Yes. The door is wide open. Yes, I'll kill the fatted calf. Yes, I'll give you a new garment. I'll give you new jewelry. I'll take care of you. I'll give you the best of everything. I just need you to come back home. That's our part in the equation. That's our choice in the equation. It's coming back to him time and time again and saying to God, I love you and I want to come back home. Paul speaks in our second reading this morning from Corinthians about wisdom. Not the wisdom of the world, not the wisdom of the learned people. No, the wisdom of God, which seems to be almost invisible until we surrender and allow him to reveal his truths. Now, it's interesting to me, not that it was done by accident, but that this scripture reading this morning from St. Paul to the Corinthians comes paired with the passage we get from the gospel. The gospel reading today, much like last week, comes from the Sermon on the Mountain. And we hear this message of making choices, doing what is right. Jesus says in the gospel reading this morning, he said, I did not come to abolish the law. There were people standing around that heard that went, he's not the one we're looking for then. They didn't want the law. They didn't want the rules. They didn't want to be told what to do. They wanted choices. And the law appeared to them to take away their choices. I don't want to follow the law. That's a choice, but they didn't see it that way. They wanted someone to come and say, the law is gone. You don't have to do all these things. Jesus said, I'm not that person. I did not come to abolish the law, I came to fulfill it. Why? Because I'm not just carrying the law, I am the law. My physical presence with you is evidence of the law. And by the way, that's a good thing, not a bad thing. Some people have said that there's an imagery here that's being given in this passage of Scripture where Jesus, if you will, takes... This is going to sound awkward, so bear with me until I get through with it, okay? Where Jesus takes a similar place to what Moses took. See, Moses went up on the mountain and received the law, and he came down and he shared it with the people. Jesus stands on a mountain before the people and says, I am the law. You thought what Moses gave you was really important and valuable, even though you didn't like all of it. But I'm telling you, what you're receiving right now is even more important and more valuable. I am in your presence. I brought the law into your presence. It's not just something written in a book that you have to follow. I'm asking you to follow me, to live like me, to be like me. And in order to do that, you're going to have to make some hard choices. You're going to have to make choices that seemingly won't make sense and may even seem impossible. I say to you that you've heard it, that it's written that you should not kill. I say to you that if you even have bad thoughts about someone, in your mind, you have already committed murder. Whoa, wait a minute. It was enough for me to say not to kill anybody, but now I can't even have bad thoughts. Absolutely. Does that mean you're not going to have bad thoughts about people? No, doesn't mean that. What it means is when those thoughts come along, you can rest assured they're not good thoughts. They didn't come from God. Because Jesus calls us to be like him, to think like him, to act like him, to love like him, to be merciful like him, to have grace like him, to do all things in his way, to make the choice to not live in the flesh, but live in the spirit. The cartoons when I was a kid weren't quite as exciting as the cartoons now. You ever gone back and watched a really old cartoon and gone, did I really think that was fun? Yes, you did. It's amazing where television and movies and things have gone. When I was a kid, there were a lot of cartoons that it didn't matter if it was Daffy Duck or if it was Mickey Mouse or if it was whatever character. There always seemed to be some storyline where they were sitting on the side of a hill trying to decide what to do. And on one shoulder, there was a little angel, and on the other shoulder, there was a little devil. And the little angel would tell them to do the right thing. And the little devil would tell them to do the wrong thing. And then the angel and the devil would get in an argument. I think that's a pretty good image of our life. I think that if we have a life in Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells within us, and that angel, which is the presence of the Lord in our life, is constantly telling us to do the right thing. But we're living in the flesh, and the flesh is weak. And in the flesh, we hear that other voice on the other side, the little devil, going, "Oh, come on, it won't be so bad." How many times have we read the story of Adam and Eve and gone, "Man, how did Eve miss this one? I mean, God has said, you can have anything you want, leave the tree in the middle alone. I'm telling you, if you eat it from it, you'll die." I mean, how did she get it wrong? When that snake showed up, how did she not go, "Hey, that's a snake"? Because I don't think the snake is what we're really supposed to grab in the story. It's the weaknesses of our flesh. Because what does the snake tempt her with? The snake doesn't tempt her with, "This fruit's going to be the best fruit you've ever had." The snake doesn't tempt her with, "You know, you could take the seeds of this fruit and you can grow these trees all over the garden." No. The snake says, "Oh, come on. You know why God doesn't want you to have that? You have that, you'll be as smart as him. Don't you want to be smart? Don't you want the easy road? Don't you want to have it all figured out? Don't you want to not have to ask questions and wonder why? Have a bite." Flesh is weak. We have those Eve moments too, when our flesh is weak. Temptation sets in. We find ourselves making the wrong choices. As we prepare to enter into Lent, God calls us to choices. And here's the choices he calls us to in Lent as we prepare for the great feast of Easter. To look at our lives and see the results of our choices that we've made up to this point. And to begin to set aside those things that were bad choices that brought about bad results, and those things that were good choices that brought about good results. To get rid of the bad choices, don't make those anymore. Multiply the good choices. Take some more of those on. I would encourage you to think of this during Lent. There's all kinds of Lenten devotions we can do, and we can come up with a million and one good ones. All of them would be good. But don't make choices in Lent that are too difficult and you can't attain them, and so then you fall off the bandwagon in week one and give up. Make good choices. Easy in the sense that they can be followed, but they're going to better your life. How about 10 minutes in the morning before you start getting ready to pray or read the scriptures? I mean, it's just 10 minutes. It's not an hour. It's not all day. It's just 10 minutes. 10 minutes on the front end. Spend a little time with the Lord. Somewhere in the middle of your day, take a break. Just a few minutes. Take those few minutes to spend some time with the Lord. Turn off Facebook. Turn off your phone. Turn off the things that are distracting to you. And just spend a few minutes with the Lord. It's a choice that we can make. A choice to bring about something better in our life. It's a bite-sized choice. It's one we can make every day along the way. It doesn't have to be overwhelming. In fact, I have found in my life that sometimes it's the little choices that make the biggest difference. The big choices become overwhelming sometimes, and I give up on them. The little choices are things that I can do. God calls us in this season ahead to make choices. May our choices be ones that fall in line with him. May we be drawn closer to thinking like Christ, to acting like Christ, to being like Christ. And may the world around us be changed, not because of who we are, but who he is in us. Amen.